The next week was better. Brennian was still in Imladris, but he kept his distance. Not because of anything Lindir did, but because every time he looked at Lindir or took a step toward him, he became afflicted with a terrible headache. He did not appear to be sleeping well either, with dark shadows growing underneath his eyes. Lindir heard him complaining to Edister about music keeping him up at night, but Lindir's rooms were, thankfully, too far away to be blamed for the mysterious noise. Finally, Lady Celebrian was ready to leave, and Lindir was ready to celebrate Brennian leaving with her. That was, until she asked Lindir if he would travel with them.
Me? Are you sure? I'm not a fighter, Lady Celebrian. I wouldn't be much help if we ran into trouble.
Captain Brennian and his soldiers will be able to handle that, she said. But I would like to travel with a friend on the long road. And I'm sure my mother would love to see you again and know that you are settling in well. Lindir wanted to say no. He desperately did. But Lady Celebrian did not know of his history with Brennian, and Lindir really did not want to explain it to her. And how could he say no without giving the reason why? To say no and not explain would just be horribly rude. So, he forced himself to smile, and said,
I'd be honored to accompany you, Lady Celebrian,
and then went to his room and screamed into his pillow. It was fine. Lady Celebrian would be there, and even Brennian would not be stupid enough to try anything with her near. Once in Lothlorien, Lindir would just stay near Lady Galadriel as much as possible, and avoid Brennian until he could return to Imladris. It would be fine. Please, Eru, let it be fine. The first half of their journey was quiet, uneventful, almost peaceful. Brennian was distracted with ordering his soldiers around, scouting the roads, keeping his attention focused on the wilderness around them. Lindir kept his horse beside Lady Celebrian's, his harp strapped securely to his back, and spent the time singing parts of his epic ballad of Moss to her, which she thought was delightful. Then they turned a corner, and all the soldiers except for Brennian rode away. The path around them became much different than the one Lindir remembered traveling on months before. Lady Celebrian noticed as well. Captain Brennian, she said, I have been away from Lothlorien many years, but not so long that I have forgotten the way. Why have you taken us down this path, and where have the rest of your soldiers gone?
One of our scouts spotted orcs further up the pass, said Brennian. My soldiers have gone to intercept them while we take the long way around. It is for your safety, my lady. Your mother would never forgive me if any harm were to come to you.
A good, sensible reason. Lindir's stomach twisted in dread anyway. The feeling only grew worse as the woods around them became thicker with shadows. Captain Brennian stopped his horse, forcing Lady Celebrian and Lindir to do the same.
Why did we stop? Asked Lindir. This isn't a safe place to camp, and we still have plenty of daylight left.
Lady Celebrian stared at Brennian, no longer smiling. She looked like her mother in that moment, head held high, regal and beautiful and impossibly brave. Traitor, she said. Brennian smirked. An orc horn sounded, followed by the sound of snarling, of monsters marching toward them. Celebrian unsheathed the short sword at her side. Lindir fumbled for the dagger in his belt. They had no chance.
The orcs forced them to their knees, blades pointed at their throats. Lady Celebrian kept her gaze on Brennion, her glare like ice, one hand holding on to Lindir's tightly. Lindir fought against the urge to throw up. Either they'd be killed here, bodies left to rot in the mud, or they'd be dragged to whatever torture Sauron had planned for them in Mordor. Lindir did not know which outcome he feared more.
"Captain Brennion," said Lady Celebrian, "what have you done?"
"What your husband and mother should have done, instead of hiding in their gilded halls," said Brennion. "The enemy cannot be defeated. It can only be bargained with."
"And so you have traded your soldiers' lives for your own?"
"Just yours," he smirked at Lindir. "My bargain was only to trade Lady Celebrian for leniency from Lord Sauron. I don't need to send you to him, Lindir. If you ask nicely, if you beg, I'm sure I could find a way to keep your pretty face out of Mordor."
Lindir's throat had gone dry. He could barely speak. He could barely think. The terror in his mind was so thick.
But he pulled on all his courage and spat at Brennion's feet.
"I will take torture and death before I give up my honor."
Brennion laughed. "Brave words from a stupid bard. I give you a week in Mordor before you'll be begging me to take pity on you." His eyes caught sight of the harp on his back, and Lindir could do nothing as Brennion took it. "You won't be needing this."
He ran his fingers down its strings, the notes sharp, discordant, and then threw the harp to the ground with enough force to shatter it to pieces. It did not break. All sound seemed to stop as the harp landed perfectly upright on the ground, all the shadows stretching toward it. The orcs, the woods, Brennion, everything in the dark hearts of the woods went silent. Lindir couldn't even hear his own breath. The strings on the harp began to play a soft, sweet melody. Brennion covered his ears.
"How is it doing that?" He turned to Lindir. "What did you do?"
"Nothing," Lindir shook his head.
I don't know.
Lady Celebrian squeezed his hand, and her strength was the only thing that kept him from passing out. The orcs surrounding them were gripping their heads, weapons lowered or forgotten, shrieking and grunting in pain. The harp continued to play, the tempo increasing, the volume rising. Brennion was digging his fingers into his ears so hard, Lindir could see blood beginning to dribble out of them.
"Make it stop!" screamed Brennion.
He took a step toward them, and Lindir heard a splash. The ground beneath them, bone dry only minutes ago, was drenched. A ring of water now surrounded Lindir and Lady Celebrian. The orcs began to scream. Something dragged them down. That was the only way Lindir could describe it. The water, something in the water, grabbed the orcs' legs and pulled them beneath the ground, devouring them whole. The harp played on, louder and louder, until it drowned out the screams, until Brennion was the only one left, standing in ankle-deep bloody water.
"Shut up!"
Brennion raised his sword and brought the blade down on the harp. A figure all dressed in shadow caught it with its hand. Brennion froze. Lindir could not see the figure's face, only its skeletal hand, its bony fingers holding on to the sharp steel without any pain. Brennion
could see its face, though, his eyes filling with absolute terror. The harp music was playing impossibly fast now. The blood was pouring out of Brennion's ears. He opened his mouth to scream. The water dragged him down before he could make another sound. There was no one else in the woods now, except for Lindir and Lady Celebrian, and the figure dressed in shadow. It turned to face them, and Lindir could only see a glimpse of it. A wraith of bone and coral, with blue lips like a drowned corpse, with long hair tangled with seaweed and sand, and eyes that glowed with an eerie, cold light, before shutting his eyes in fear. Lady Celebrian let out a sob. "Maclar Feanorian!" Lindir forced his eyes open, but the figure was gone. The harp was silent. It stayed silent for the rest of the journey back to Imladris. The return to Imladris passed like a blur for Lindir. He vaguely remembered finding new horses with Lady Celebrian, the rush back to the kingdom, Lord Elrond running to meet them before they'd dismounted. There were snippets of sound and color after that, being checked for injuries, being asked questions he could not answer, being given something hot to drink and wrapped up in something soft. Erister speaking to him softly like he was a spooked animal, little Ottowin bringing him flowers and thanking him for saving her mother, the twins clutching Lady Celebrian like they were afraid she'd disappear if they let go, Glorfindel leading a group to find out what had happened to the other soldiers under Brennion's command, the harp, silent and heavy, tight in his hands. He would not let go of it. He could not. He could still hear the melody. He could still see Brennion's face twisted into a silent scream. Lord Elrond sought Lindir out much later, huddled on his bed, staring down at the harp. Gently, he took it out of Lindir's hands. "The music was so beautiful," said Lindir. It was the first words he'd spoken since returning to Imladris. "The most beautiful music I've ever heard, and the most horrible." "That matches what Celebrian described," Lord Elrond sighed, looking much older than his years. "I am glad you are unharmed, Lindir, and I am sorry you had to live through such a thing."
"She called the thing a name, like it was a person."
Lord Elrond nodded. "He was an elf once. Perhaps a part of him still is, if he was willing to come to your aid." Slowly, Lindir sat up.
"Did she know him?"
"Only from my stories."
"You knew him?"
Again, grief filled Lord Elrond's eyes. "Very well."
"He's not a creature of Sauron's, is he?"
"No. I am not sure what he has become, but he does not serve the Dark Lord. He never has." Lord Elrond's eyes flickered over to the harp, then back to Lindir. "What do you know about Maglor Feanorian?" Lindir tried to think.
"He wrote some songs? Or at least he wrote one very long song."
He shook his head.
"There's more, I know there is, but I can't recall it."
"He was a bard, and a monster, and one of the people I loved most in this world. I thought him dead for these past 2 ages, since the War of Wrath ended, and the treasures he sought turned against him. I looked for him, but could not find him, and assumed that in his despair he'd thrown himself into the sea. He reached out and placed a hand on the harp. There were tears in his voice. I looked everywhere for him.
Well, said Lindir, he's here now, in a way.
A terrifying, incomprehensible way.
Was it the harp that brought him here?
Lord Elrond shook his head. Lady Galadriel would have sensed if he had been inside there. I think, rather, that he has been in Imladris this whole time, and that the harp was just a connection for him. It used to be his, you know.
Oh, Lindir eyed it warily. Do you think he'll want me to give it back?
No. He would have taken it by now if he did.
That's good. Haunting aside, Lindir really liked the harp. What happens now?
You are welcome to stay or leave, of course. I would understand if after such a traumatic experience you wish to...
No, I want to stay here, in Imladris.
Shadowy monster singer or not, it was still the best home Lindir had ever had.
I mean, what happens now to him? Are you going to get rid of him?
Lord Elrond shook his head. After all the years I spent searching, and after he saved my wife's life and yours, no. Imladris is a place of rest and healing, and I can only hope he finds some here. He smiled. I would like to see him again.
You might not want to, warned Lindir. He's, well, more than a little scary to look at.
He is my father, said Lord Elrond. I will love him regardless. But there was no sign of Maglar Feanorian over the next few days. Lord Elrond wandered around Imladris at midnight, desperate for a glimpse, but nothing happened. No strange occurrences, no half-seen shadows or mysterious music.
Well, thought Lindir, you helped me, so I suppose it would only be fair that I in turn help you.
That night, when the moon was full and the rest of Imladris, including Lord Elrond, were asleep, Lindir put the harp down in the middle of his room, put his hands on his hips, and spoke to it.
Maglar Feanorian, I hope you remember that's your name, as I don't know what else to call you. Lord Elrond says that you're probably haunting all of Imladris and not just the harp, but it feels silly to talk to an empty room, and this used to be yours anyway, so it seems like the best way to get your attention.
He took a deep breath.
I realize that I did not thank you properly for saving me. Twice, actually, since you were probably the one giving Brennion the headaches back before we realized he was a traitor. So, thank you.
Was it his imagination, or were the shadows starting to gather in the corner of his vision? He kept talking.
I don't know who you once were. Lord Elrond explained a little, but I tend to forget history as soon as I'm told it. I'm sure you were great and horrible and everything else historic figures tend to be. I'm not sure what you are now, either. But I know what it's like to want a place to rest, and to want a place to just be yourself and be safe. And terrifying appearance and unexplained powers aside, you're not bad. Not like Sauron or Brennion or like other people I've met, so you don't need to hide or go away. I don't mind if you play your music or correct my quenya spelling, though if you could avoid getting water on my bedsheets or my paper, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Lindir could smell sea salt now, could feel eyes on the back of his neck.
I finished my epic ballad about moss. Would you like to hear it?
A few notes drifted up from the harp. Out of the corner of his eye, Lindir could see the edge of a figure all dressed in shadow, sitting behind him. He smiled.
I'll take that as a yes.